bring all this stuff to the Brian, who's a big boss, because we research and stuff like that. I said, them guys are going to get thrown to the wolves over there. I said, most of those guys over at the other shop.
We need to play that jailbreak game again.
What? A bracelet?
What'd you do? You unhooked it. All right. Good evening, everybody. We're looking forward to this tonight, and we're just thanking God that they came back safe. They had a great experience. There's a lot of stuff that they probably won't share tonight, but I have to tell you that when Jean-Marc and Eric left, we all had in mind what their trip would be like and what they would learn. And then after about a week or so, we kind of wondered if any of that was going to happen. And we were faced with the Lord, why? What's going on? And I think we all learned the same lesson we have to learn over and over and over. God's in control. He set this apart. In fact, I remember telling Kristen, because Kristen can react pretty strongly sometimes to things, and she was ready to hop on a plane, go down there and rescue the boys and get them to come back or cut the trip short and all sorts of things. And I remember actually saying, it had to be God just giving me the words because I don't tend to be this wise, but I remember saying, look, God planned this out a long time ago. In fact, we knew the whole time that this was supposed to happen. There was a purpose in all of this. So let's let it play out. Let's wait and see what's going to happen. I told her I truly believe by the end of the summer we'll be able to say that all of this was, there was a reason behind it, that God had a hand in this, and that these boys are going to learn some things that we didn't have any idea that they would wind up learning. I think that from what I've heard from them, they really did learn a lot. And it's one of those things. You know, so many books are written about a coming of age. And when the world writes a book about a coming of age or a movie, it's always they came of age into sin. You know, like Catcher in the Rye and things, which, why? Why does that have to be a coming of age? Why isn't a coming of age where someone comes into understanding what God has for them and a being set apart for his purposes? And I think these guys got a glimpse of that. In a large way this summer, I hope, was a coming of age for both of these guys. And so I'm looking forward to tonight. So let me lead us in prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to these guys, and we're going to be blessed. Lord, thank you so much that you do have a plan and a purpose. And then even though we can't see it when we're in the middle of it, Lord, it unfolds for your glory and for our benefit. You promise, Lord, that you will bring all these things for the glory of your people, that nothing is wasted, that everything, Lord, is for the benefit. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you for these guys and the experience they had this summer. And look forward now, Lord, to you just sharing through them what you've done. In Christ, I praise you. Amen. All right, guys, come on up. Woo!
So I just want to start off by saying thank you all for coming tonight, and thank you for all the support while we were there, and for the prayers, and for everything that y'all have all done for us the whole time. And so we're going to start off with showing you exactly where we went. You tell them and I'll point.
All right. Where are we at?
What you just did?
I didn't touch the thing.
Start. There you go. Never mind.
All right. Yeah, well, where we're at is Nabad. It's where we stayed at with Mr. Medina. Mr. Domingo. Okay.
Right. The box's not on that, though.
No, yeah, I know.
We're in the Guatemala City.
This is Nabah.
And this is way in the north. But that's Nabah. The little red dot.
Got
and
it.
These are just the different regions in the area.
Tell them what the green is.
Huh?
The green.
All the little green dots are where FH villages that they sponsor. I was able to go to 11 different villages.
And
you have the microphone.
John Mark was able to go to 11 different villages. And I was able to go to at least 8, even though I got hurt on the trip. Here's another map.
These are just some pictures. I like taking pictures, so these are just a few that I liked, and just of the scenery.
And that was out near the villages?
No, this one's on a road by Hanlau. These two are the same.
That's where you go to that good restaurant out there.
It was close.
By,
yes,
by a cool, yeah.
I actually got to swim in this one. I got to swim in two of them.
We didn't swim in one.
That's kind of swimming. We would just like strip down and go swim in the river. It was really cold, but a lot of fun. This is Nabok, the city that we got to stay in. It's the largest city around. And you want to tell them about the hill?
This
is a big hill.
This is like a big old hill that is very steep. We have to walk. We walked that up like 4 times a day when we didn't go out to the villages. We got a little workout, and it's not fun walking up when you have a hurt knee, though. This is the paved road that we did on this last trip not too long ago in February.
So that's the finished project that our church sponsored. The road to the elementary school in our village in Hanlai.
Our parents knew about this, but no one else, I guess, from the church. I don't know if Pastor Mark told y'all. Well, the government funded the school to where they can get a new roof on top of the school also. That's where,
that's
maybe...
the main school building.
Yeah, the main school building where mostly the high grades stayed, went to school. So most of the kids went to, houses, I think, just to go to for classes. But while they were working on the roof.
The basketball court you're going to show later?
That's a better picture.
Okay.
It's just the roof again.
I don't know.
This is a new meeting place that the leaders in Hanlai, the same village, built. That's it right there again. They started it when we got there, and they finished it when we left. So... And to the right of it is the court that we just finished, or that we finished the first trip that we went. They have basketball goals up and stuff. It's looking really nice now.
Jean-Marc, did they use the material from the roof?
Yeah, it's the same sheetrock from the old sheet metal from the old roof to make this new one. And it's just like a main meeting place that they use. This is Pedro. I worked with him a lot, and I was able to go to a bunch of different villages with him. He works with the children in the schools. We got to do a lot of ministry with him. And this is in Hanlai, the first meeting that he had. He just teaches them about general hygiene, how to brush their teeth, and to take showers and clean themselves. And then he tells them that God has a purpose for their lives, and that they were made with a purpose to fulfill. And we would tell them the story of the talents, how God gave. This is in Lapista. It's a different village. Just some of the kids. That's Pedro teaching. We would tell them the story of the parable of the talents, how God gave the first man a certain amount of talents, and they eat. Two of them worked with their talents, and one didn't. And the one that didn't was cast out into the fire, and we told them that they have talents too, like school, family, sports, and friends, that all of these are blessings from God, and that God gave them those blessings to use for his glory. This is the same school in Lapista that Pedro was teaching. This is in Rio Sul when Pedro was teaching again. And they're drawing on the board there. He's telling them this about the scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And they drew a heart and a light bulb and a strong arm and a star for heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is Miguel. There's about four or five or six guys, different guys, that go to all the villages. They visit each one about every twice a month. And so they get to see these kids a lot, and they really get to know them and teach different lessons each time that they go. I was able to be a part of this lesson with Pedro. Let's see if this works. No. Can you start the video, Chris? So after a while, I got used to what Pedro was teaching and stuff, and he let me teach. The kids didn't really understand Spanish, so I would say it in Spanish, and then he would say it. This is just the parable of the talents. So those kids are just like thinking, what is this white guy saying? But yeah, I was showing my artistic skills there. And Pedro, that was Pedro with the camera. He was just telling them what they were saying, what I was saying. That was one of the first ones that I taught, so I was just getting used to it. I really figured out how hard it was to try to think of a lesson and say it in a different language. It wasn't that easy, but I kind of got a little used to it. And we would also like sing songs with the kids and stuff too. So that's what this one is. Uno. So that was in Kambalam. It was a different village. That was probably the best class that I was able to teach. They really interacted and everything. It was really great to get to see them. And what we were singing was outside, inside, up high, down low, I'm always happy because God cleaned my heart, and that's why I'm always happy. You want to talk to him about the mothers?
Day after the meeting.
He was sick. So this is in Hanlai with the community that we work with. These are all the mothers in Hanlai, and Mr. Domingo got to work with them and tell them how, just kind of start to organize and tell them how the bracelet thing is going to work. This was the first meeting that we had with them. And at the end of this, Eric and I also, nope, you weren't there. So it was, so it was a different time. We also got to tell the same group of ladies the parable of the talents that, Eric was able to tell them that the same thing we were telling the kids, that they were given blessings to use to help other people. And Mr. Domingo did this little exercise with them using, like, string, and they all threw it to each other to show that they have to stay together and be united to make this work. It was a really good meeting, and we have all these bracelets because of it. This is Juana. She works with FH. She's teaching these five mothers here. This is a different time. About, she's training them to go tell all the other mothers in the village how to raise their young kids, about hygiene, and they're just going to go out to everyone and tell them about hygiene and raising young children and stuff like that. You were here for this. This is Neymar.
Neymar.
Yeah.
Well, this is a little girl. When we first walked up, was a guy just working on his tree. Then we got to go with Mr. Domingo and the...
Was it the mayor of the village?
Like the mayor or like the guy, the leader of the village, the main leader. We walked around with him and visited other men that was working with the vegetation. This is cabbage. Yeah, he's right here.
You got cabbages that size, Louie? Can you see those?
I can't see how big they are, really.
That was after they harvested.
This is a greenhouse this one guy made. Look, it was pretty cool, actually. And
he had a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, well, he had a bunch of greenhouses, kind of, I guess. And then he also had, like, this. And he made, like, he's made his own little bin, whatever, like, filled with dirt and worms, making his own compost with the worms, which is pretty cool.
Thank you.
And this is some more. This is Eduardo, another FH worker. Oh, my gosh, that's a huge fly.
No. This is Neymar.
This is... Neymar, he does kind of look like Gary Beal, though. Yeah. This is the greenhouse again from outside. This
that's
is.
La Pista.
You sure it's La Pista?
What?
That's La Pista.
That's
it says La Pista.
That's big.
You got
it. I don't know no La Pista.
So, Pedro's family lived in La Pista, and I got to go there a lot with him. This next one is. Aside from that, this is in Akul. What these ladies are doing is they're weighing young children from newborn to 5 years old, and they would weigh them and see how tall they were each month. And each month they would come and weigh them and do all this and work with them to make sure that they're growing and getting the right nutrition that they need. FH does this in every village, but I was able to see this one in action. This is the same day. I was with Jacinto that day, the guy on the right. He works with the leaders in a couple villages, and what he was doing in this meeting was making plans for this upcoming year and really seeing what they think about what they should be doing and all this kind of stuff about when they harvest and when the rain comes, and he was just planning out with the leaders.
Was this that's them.
Cool.
This is, I don't know if you caught this, but they've got tile floor, and if you look at the ceiling, it's got wood ceiling. That's really nice.
And
that's nice a building as you're going to get in the village.
That's the mayor sitting at the table on the right. Yeah, Akul is a nice village. This is in La Pista with Pedro. I got to go to a few meetings like this. The whole village or town would hold a meeting, and they would talk about how they want their kids to grow up, how there's so much trash in the street, how when their kids, how they need to feed their kids, and they would all just get together and talk about this kind of stuff. Just to organize it a little better. And they would actually, Pedro would use me as an example to see, like, show the parents, like, look, if you feed your kid, he gets tall. But,
I wasn't even there.
This is in Sheesh. You were there.
Sheesh
with Pedro.
Sheesh and oh yeah.
Tell them what we did with Pedro.
Well, when we went there, we were expected to go work with the kids, but they were all out of school because the teachers were in a meeting. So we're just basically just went on house visits, which was actually cool because we actually got to do the little bracelet with the kids and telling them about the life story of Christ. So that was pretty awesome. And one of the visits, Jamal, I don't think he has any pictures up there with it, was with one of the kids. He didn't even have his dad there because his dad was in the States, and his dad didn't even send money back, didn't even come to see him. So it was pretty sad, but it was pretty awesome just to tell him how, I'm pretty sure Pedro told him that how he does really have a father, which is God in heaven, and it was pretty cool to do the bracelet with him. So
that was you took pictures of that.
Yeah, I know.
That's still sheesh.
I don't know. That's
okay. That's this is towards the end of the trip. I got to go. We're kind of jumping around. I got to go back to Hanlai on my last day. They're actually having a party because of the structure that they had just finished. It was like the grand opening ceremony, and it was this big party that they had. We met in this room first, and they talked about how grateful they were to work with FH and the schools. And there was a main it was also for the roof for the school. The main school director for the area was there because he helped put the new roof on the school. And so they were all thanking him and everything, and there's all this ceremonial stuff. And then we all walked to the school. These are some of the leaders and the queen of Hanlai. Is Pedro taking these pictures? So this is when they're, like, cutting a ribbon and to begin the party for the new roof on the school. It was like a big deal. It's pretty cool to be there. Then all the men and the leaders went in this room, and we got to eat this soup kind of stuff. It was really good. And it was just this big party. And then by the end of the trip,
I was kind of leaning back because I was bummed, because at this point, my phone did get lost on a tuk-tuk, which is like a little taxi there. So I was kind of bummed, but it was still pretty cool to do the radio with Pedro. Some of y'all actually heard it. But we talked about fear and, like, what was I fearing? I mean, and then Pedro at one point asked me what do I do when I'm afraid. I was like, I mean, I told him when I was a kid, I did run to my parents a lot, but now I can understand and I know an ultimate father who's always here to protect me no matter what, even though my real dad and mom are, they're always there to protect me, but I know my father who in heaven who can really protect me always, no matter what. And that's what I told everyone, and they translated for me in Spanish, so everyone who else was listening can hear, understand it too. So that was pretty fun. That is Grace. She's from Canada, the little girl on the left. She actually is still there now, and she's not gonna leave until like August when another group from her church comes down. She's gonna just go with them her last week and then take off with them when they go back. But she really didn't go to the villages a lot, even though I didn't either, but she actually did the job that only the people who went the first time actually met. This guy was Mr. Jason. He was another guy who was from the States, but he lived in Guatemala and can speak English and everything. She took over his job and was doing all his office work in FH office, so she got her hands dirty a lot, so she was busy a lot, but I kept her company though when I got hurt, so.
So there really was just one microphone, huh?
There were two.
Well,
she's holding one.
Oh, she's holding one?
Yeah.
Okay.
At first there was one, but the other mic that she's holding was like for people who were just singing on the radio, I guess, and he just took it out and just put it in there. That's pretty cool. This is when we were at Pedro's house. This is his daughter right there that's sitting on John Morin's lap. It was pretty cool to see her sit on his lap because she was very shy. She didn't like any of us, so, at all. We all did get to go fishing with Pedro also, and it was pretty fun. We all caught one except Pedro. He caught two. But I caught the biggest one, though.
Yeah, I'll talk about this. Let me go back real quick. So we got really close to Pedro, and he became a really good friend. And we spent the whole day with him at his house, watching movies on his computer with him. And he cooked for us, and that was the morning we got to go on the radio. That was a really cool experience because that was, like, for the whole area. There were a couple people listening in other villages and stuff that got to hear that.
I don't know if John Mark really, I had a lot of pictures also when I lost my phone, it ruined it, but I had some pictures of Austin Nabat. We actually got close with some youth there, and which was pretty awesome. They called it their cell group instead of like youth. Well, they call it a youth, but when they go, instead of saying youth night, they call it cell group. So every Monday night, we will go with them to the cell group. And the first week there was pretty awesome, even though we were bummed, like Pastor Mark said, because we didn't know what we were going to be doing because what happened with the situation. But the first night there, they were talking about, God is our father, and like, well, basically we're just talking about father and like how, like the our group, like he gave three questions, and like the question that we got was like, basically, do you believe that we all can go to heaven? And like, I answered it. I was really the only one that answered because everyone else was confused about the question. So I was like, yeah, I believe that we all do. We all will go to heaven, and like, but part of the question was like, do you believe it's a free pass. I was like, yes, we do have a free pass because Jesus died on the cross for us, but it's not basically a free pass automatically that we're going to go. I was like, we have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and that's not it. We just can't believe, and that would be it. We have to be committed to follow him. We have to have faith that he would be there for us all, no matter what, and just we have to serve him, like live the life he lived. Like, it's going to be hard. He knows it's going to be hard. He sends the temptations towards us. So, I mean, but it's only there to test us. So that's what I was telling him. And then, which was awesome, one kid named Wilson that we really, really got close with, we was teaching him English before we left. And he actually, that first week, accepted Christ, which was awesome. So I was pretty happy, too. So it was pretty cool that first week. We also, like, on Friday nights, June is like a special month for them, I think, for the youth. And, like, they did this basically like a D-Now kind of thing. And, like, it was pretty awesome. But it wasn't, like, way they can invite a friend or whatever, kind of, I guess. It was just the youth from the different regions. And, well, it was pretty cool to see that, too. We actually got to be part of it one night. We helped them do a play. And it was about Daniel, our group. We did Daniel, and we did Lions in the Den, Meshach, and his two friends. Yeah, there you go, dude. Thank you. It was pretty fun, though. And it was pretty cool just to be there. We got really close with a lot of youth there, and it was awesome.
Sundays were also very interesting because it would be just me and Eric and Miss Kara, who we were staying with, Domingo's wife. And Eric didn't know a single word that they were saying, so I would just be like whispering to him during the service the whole time, trying to catch him up with what's going on. So it was nice this morning that I looked at him and I'm like, I don't have to translate anything today. So but it was really awesome being able to see how they worship and how truly passionate those people are about God. It was a little weird because it was a charismatic church, but they were very passionate in everything, in the worship and prayer, which was a real nice eye-opener, you know? But, let's see what we got. Her name is Elena Rivera. I worked with Miss Lorenza, an FH group leader, for a day. She was really awesome to be able to be with her because we got to do a lot of different things. We started off the day going, well, our whole mission for the day was to tell all these women in this group about a meeting for the next day. And we would go visit them and just tell them about the meeting. And there were like, we walked to 34 different houses that day in the same village. And a few of them started talking to her and everything. The first one that she talked to wanted to quit the group, but she was able to encourage her and tell her that nothing's easy and that she wanted to quit because of some things going on in the group. But Ms. Lorenzo was able to encourage her and tell her that Jesus endured persecutions when he was here too, and he told us it wouldn't be easy, you know. So that was really awesome to hear her say that. And later on, right after that visit, I asked her why she liked working with FH, and that's what she told me. She was like, I like to be able to talk to people, and like just now I just encouraged this lady and she told me the story. And later on that day we met Miss Elena Rivera. That's her little girl next to her, and she's also pregnant, but she doesn't have a husband. And so her family abandoned her, and her neighbors really don't like her either. I think some other things happened, but she didn't really tell me. But later we were... After this, we were able to pray with her, which was really awesome. I got to pray with a couple people, and praying with them was really amazing because this lady, Miss Elena, would be praying in Ashil, an ancient Mayan language. Miss Lorenza was praying in Spanish, and I was praying in English. So it was really cool just to feel God's presence there, even though we were speaking three different languages. Later on that day, I'm just going to brag on Miss Lorenza, because later we stopped at someone's house because the little kid was hit by a car a couple days before, and she just went and checked on him. And later we saw this lady walking in the street, and she knew her because her husband was having trouble with alcohol. He drank a lot, and so she just stopped and asked her how she was doing and everything. And then later we stopped at another person's house and who had just had twins, and one of them was really small, so we got to stop and ask her how her little baby was doing. And I was just like, this is what it's all about, you know, just talking to people, encouraging them. And I had a really great day that day with Miss Lorenza. There were a few more times when I was with Pedro that we were able to go to a lady's house this one time who everything seemed to be okay. She was apparently sick, so we were going to pray for her because she was sick. But Pedro started talking to her, and I had no clue what was going on because they were talking in a shield, and that's like, whew, way over my head. And so I was just sitting there listening to him, but everything seemed to be okay, but it turned out that I think her husband was in the States, and her sisters physically abused her for some reason or another, and she was having a real tough time with the rest of her family, too. So after 30 minutes of them talking about it, she was crying already, but we just went in the house and started praying, and everyone started crying. But it was an amazing experience to be able to encourage them and pray for them. This other time, it was me and three other people from FH, who, it was a half a day on a Friday, so we just went to a village as a group, and there were three ladies in that village who were sick, and we just went to each of their houses to pray for them. And each time it was just this passionate prayer for everyone that praying for these people. Those were probably the most amazing experiences that I had. It really kind of hit me too, because lately my prayer life hasn't been the best, and seeing these people pray was just amazing and such an eye-opener to what prayer should be like with your Father, you know. You want to talk about it? This was the same day that we went to Nema to see all the plants and stuff, the greenhouse. We went to, this is a different village though. This is La Esperanza. It's what the village is called. This is the second man that we visited. He is a pastor there. And his name is, what is his name? Was it Domingo? I think it was Domingo also. And he's the pastor there. And he talked to the other Domingo, that was our leader, about some struggles that he had with his children. Two of his youngest children left where they were staying. They're old, like older than me, but they're adults. But there was some problem in the village to where they left, and he hasn't heard from them in a few years. And so that was really troubling him. But I also got to ask him what it was like to be a pastor in that village there, because I told him that my dad's a pastor and that it's a different experience, and that he just told me that it was like being the father of a family, how they would come to him and talk to him about the problems that they had, and they really weighed on his heart because he loved these people, and you could tell he was really passionate for the people in his church. But this is his church.
This is the pastor's church. Well, first I want to say, like, I don't know how many times John Mark asked me this question, but he was like, dude, out of all this, like, you being sick like twice and being with a hurt knee for the last 3 weeks, you couldn't even do anything. Did you even still have a good time? I was like, dude, definitely. I mean, God definitely still spoke to me. This is like probably the first 3 weeks when we did this. And I did get to, I was still reading a book by David Platt. And this, I read this chapter 2 right before this day. And that day, when we seen the church, it hit me. Like, I was like, wow. It got, well, as you can see, he has no floors. And he says, on Sundays, there's no band playing, no music. And then there's no air conditioning. And it reminded me what David Platt was talking about in his book in Indonesia. He got in a room maybe smaller than this, and the ceiling wasn't even maybe my height or smaller, he was saying, kind of describing, to where he had to hunch over. And crammed 60 people in there, and they were there for like 6 hours, just, and they all came there for one purpose, just to hear the word of God. And this guy, he says every Sunday he still has 10 families that still come to church every day with no music, no air conditioning, no comfortable chairs. What they sit on is just wood, pretty much. And that reminded me of David Platt's book, because he actually brought it to, he actually did that to his church. He took out the pews, took out the air conditioning, and he just told his church, we're going to have a sermon for a very long time, pretty much. And he said he had like thousands of people come still just to hear the word of God. And it really hit me, because like this guy, this pastor still has 10 families come every Sunday. And it just reminded me, like, why do we even go to church? I mean, like, do we come just to hang out with friends, just to see them, or just to come worship, just to listen to the music? I mean, it's not a bad thing just to come for worship, but still, like, it's, what if Pastor Mark took out the pews, took out the air conditioning, no worship? I mean, how many of us would actually come to church just for his word? I mean, that hit me really bad. Like, I was like, I really don't know if I would like to come. I mean, I was like, but it hit me, and I prayed about that, and like, just hit me really hard.
So, yeah, I think that's all our pictures. Are there any questions? The food? Oh, man.
It was torture, actually, because, like, all we ate was eggs and chicken and tortillas, and it was food we had to eat. So, I mean, we ate it, but, I mean, no, Miss, what?
I'll talk about that.
What she said?
The ladies in the village.
Oh.
Well, when I would visit people's houses, yes, they would, like, give me something to drink. There were a bunch of different kind of rice drinks and milk and corn and stuff. It's good stuff, actually. I enjoyed it. They also have this dish called bosh bowl, which is like melaton leaves, and they put like corn stuff in it for tortillas, and they wrap it up real tight and boil it. And then you eat that with these mashed up pumpkin seeds and salsa. And that's like the main food for that area. They eat it all the time. They just go in the backyard and pick leaves off of the melaton plant. But it was pretty cool. How much weight? Just about 3 or 4 pounds each. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Yeah.
I was actually really surprised, actually, because I got sick one day from eating. I think it was the corn, but I mean, I don't know what it was. But I was sick for 2 days straight, and one whole day I didn't even eat. So I was surprised how much weight I actually lost. So
let me get this straight. John Mark wound up eating
everything.
everything. Everything.
You didn't eat except what Kara fed you. Kara. You get sick
yes.
twice.
Well, the first time I got sick, it was because, like, I don't know, it was my allergies, and it just got into my asthma, so I couldn't really breathe. So.
The second time.
It was
bad.
Trust me, it was bad. 2 days straight. Every 5 minutes. That was not fun. Huh?
What's the weather?
It was, well, it's the summertime, but it's the rainy season there. So it rained a bunch, maybe around like 3.
Every day.
3 o'clock, it was just nonstop raining. But some day, we had maybe like 3 days out of the whole time we were there, we had a sunny day.
The schools would go from January to September, and they'd have off in November and December, and so they were in school the whole time we were there. And like, I would talk to the high school seniors and stuff, and they'd be like, "Wait, you already graduated?" And I'd have to explain all that to them, but they were still in school. And but apparently, around there, they find any reason to get off of school. There's something with the teachers. There's an attitude in Guatemala that it's more like a selfish thing, where it's hard for, Ms. Kara was explaining this to me, it's hard for them to be happy for someone else to see them do well. Because they just look at themselves and see how poor they are or something like that. And so even the teachers find any excuse to not have to teach. It's kind of a sad thing, but she was explaining, in this big city with like maybe 6 schools, there was one teacher that died, and in the whole city, every school was out of school for that one day just because one teacher died in one school. But they get out of school for a lot of reasons. But they were in school the whole time.
So there's a lot of stuff like jealousy.
Almost.
They don't like to see someone do well.
Almost, yeah. They.
Is it because they're convicted because they're not doing well?
That's, yeah, they just look at themselves. Mr. Wu is asking if it's like a jealousy kind of thing. But it doesn't. Miss Kara was explaining this to me. I didn't really get to see it because it was more like I was an outsider looking in instead of on the inside. She had been living there for a while and had seen this going on, but she was just explaining to me how they just see themselves as poor, and they can't get out of this mental attitude that they're poor and helpless and they can't do anything for themselves. And they look at everyone else who's doing better than them, and they can't be happy for them. They're just sad about themselves. It's just an attitude around there. Leaving them when we left? Leaving them at the end of the trip, the hardest thing was leaving all the friends that we made, because we really got to know a lot of people, because we would go to these youth events every Friday and our cell group every Monday, and having to go was right when things were getting fun and we were able to go hang out with like the group at FH. I really got close to Pedro and a couple other guys in that group at FH that works there, and didn't really want to have to leave because it was fun being with them and seeing the work that they do for the Lord.
What was the hardest thing about you leaving?
I say it's the relationships that we built with some of the youth. I mean, I know I wasn't able to talk to them that much, but I mean, like, it was just cool just to meet him and everything. I mean, like, Wilson,
he actually knew a bunch of English before, so I can actually kind of talk to him. So he was really the closest one I probably got to more than anyone else. So it was kind of hard just to leave the friends we made behind. All right.
I should have put the picture in the slide.
Yeah, you should have. Well, like,
I could get there.
In Mr. Domingo's backyard, he has, like, these steps. And, like, there's grass over it, but there's actually stones in it. And, well, in his backyard is where we played volleyball. So, well, we're playing, and I was into the game. So, and I was running, and I dove, and my knee just went, hit the stone, and that was it. At first, I thought I just hit it, and I was like, oh, I'm fine. And then I was limping, I was like, ooh, I need to sit down. And I looked at my knee, it was a big old hole, so. Nah, I hit a stone on the wall, on the ground. It was, like, that big. And I treated it, I got stitches. Yeah, that's my knee. Huh? Yeah, I got numbed up. Ah, I'm glad I did, because Mr. Domingo, the guy who brought me, he said, I don't even know how you took that, because he said that doctor was pretty tough on my knee. He was pressing down on it. I was like, I even asked him, because he was pressing pretty hard. I was like, Mr. Domingo, are you sure he numbed my knee? Because I feel everything he's doing right now. He's like, yeah, he numbed it. So I went to a public hospital, so it was pretty sketchy. I was like, ooh, I gotta get stitches here. I don't know. It's getting better. It's still pretty ugly. I have a scab, so. Yeah.
I have a question for Denver. Did you see Emilio again?
No. I made a friend the first trip in February that I never saw this trip because he's in school. He might have gone somewhere else for school or something. I'm not sure. But I did see another friend again a few times. So that was still good. That's Miss Betty.
Are you
going to
go back?
I want to. I'm really looking forward to the next trip this church is making as a group, and hopefully if everything works out good, I'd like to go back next summer, see if that works out. I really like what FH does and how they work with the children and the leaders and the moms all together. And there's no telling. Like specifically, or
I actually organized a little youth thing that I wanted to do, but it actually got kind of canceled because we met the cell group that we went to. The guy who was head of it said that he would talk to the school director. It was a perfect place to do it at. It was like a Christian school, but none of the kids really went to church. They were just there at a Christian school.
Why don't you explain what it was that you were gonna do?
Like what I was gonna do?
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna basically, we were planning on going to the school and one day and telling the kids like to get like team together, and they were going to do a soccer tournament, and then after the soccer tournament we were actually going to talk to them about Jesus Christ and have a little Bible study with them. But while he was there, well, when we were talking to the guy who was the head of the cell group, he also said, like, and we could do this in different villages also. This would be, like, great to do. And he said, because, like, even in Nabah, there's youth. They have a lot of trouble with youth with suicides because they get into drugs and stuff like that, and they just don't know what to do with themselves, so they wind up killing themselves. So just pray for the youth there.
Yeah, like he was saying, apparently last year there was a problem with the teen suicide. There was about one or two teens every day last year that killed themselves in that city. And also drugs are a big problem with the youth around there, and alcohol. But for me, the main thing to pray about would be for the families there, that they would be more united. Because even Pedro, the friend I made in FH, he and his wife aren't even that close, you know, because they marry so young around there. And his marriage isn't doing that well, but they're doing okay, though. But, like, every family that we wound up praying for had something going on, like the ladies that I was able to pray for. And in Hama, even, one of the little girls' moms was sick, and we went to her house and prayed for her. A lot of people are sick, and they can't get to a hospital because they're so far away, or they don't know what's wrong with them. They just know that their head hurts or their chest hurts or something like that. And so there's a lot of problems with that, and the family unity is a problem around there. Exactly. Right.
That's
that's in most of the region.
Yeah. The Ashiel region that they're in, that whole region of Guatemala is the poorest in all of Guatemala. It's the region that during the Civil War, the government went in and just slaughtered all the people in the villages. Something like 500,000 villagers were murdered during the Civil War, and so they're just wiped out.
It was an ethnic cleansing.
An ethnic cleansing.
That's right. It's sort of like the Nazis cleaning out the Jews.
Absolutely.
And that's what happened, because these people that they go to the
Maybe if there's one more question, does anybody else have a question?
That happens a lot, actually. It's more with the men from Guatemala. For a lot of places that we went, we would talk to the women because they're always at home. And most of the time they would say that their husband or son or someone was in America or tried to go. And every family has at least one member that's gone to America, come here. And it is a big problem because they wind up leaving their families. Like Eric was talking about earlier, we met a family who the dad came here and just never sent money, never talked to him again, just kind of left them. And that happens a lot. They just kind of get abandoned by the person that comes here. Sometimes even trying to come here is very risky because it's very illegal and a lot of them get caught, and it costs a lot of money to try to even to like pay people to try to sneak them through the border, and they still wind up getting caught and don't get paid back. So even if they are at home, they've tried to come here, and they've saved up a lot of money to try to come and got sent back, and now they're in debt with that money because they tried to come here spending it. And so their families have to try to pay that off where they didn't have it in the first place. So there's problems with that. A lot of people get killed trying to come here. They see it as about 1 in 20 people actually make it through. And so they see that as, I'll be that one person that makes it through. But it doesn't work out most of the time. And so there's a lot of that happens. So that's also a big problem around there, because you wind up with women and children with no father to take care of them or something like that. So.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
When I was hurt, I did read a lot, I read David Platt's book a lot. I do want to say, this is for you too, John Mark. I mean, in Guatemala, there's really not that much persecution for believers, but soon we do want to do missions, so I'm pretty sure God is going to call us somewhere else, maybe. But in the book, David Platt was talking to this guy, and he basically was going to start a church in his village, and he was preaching the gospel to his family, and a witch doctor from the village came and was knocking on the door saying that he wanted to fight him. This guy studied jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, and all kind of stuff just to protect himself from witch doctors so he can fight them off. And, before he went out there, God spoke to him and said, you don't need to do the fighting anymore. Just I will do the fighting for you. And basically, all he did was just went outside, pulled the chair down, and sat down, and the guy just dropped dead, the witch doctor. And, I mean, that spoke to me a lot. I mean, we definitely want to do missions sooner or later in our future. I mean, we really do need to just let God do the fighting. I mean, he would take care of us.
Not everybody here tonight was with us when we realized that God was calling us to missions in Guatemala. So I know we've gone over time, but I want to just tell those who don't really know the history of FH how we came about this. A few years ago, we had gone to Mexico on a mission trip and really felt that God was going to use this church to do some missions work in international missions, but we didn't know what that was. And we talked about all different places we could go and things we could do, and we just kept praying. And then I was at a conference, pastor's conference, and met somebody. Yeah, Eric and I were together at the pastor's conference for Desiring God, and wound up talking to somebody at the FH booth. And I usually stay the heck away from the booths. I don't want to talk to the people, things like that. But God just kind of got my attention. I said, all right, Lord, let me hear. And they invited me to go on a trip to Guatemala, on a trip that FH was doing with pastors to see what the work was like. And Chico Castillo was a member of the church at the time. He and I went down and just were blown away by what they were doing. A lot of the places that they just showed us pictures of are where Chico and I got to visit. We visited about 8 different villages just so that we could see what FH was doing. What Food for the Hungry does is they go into these villages and they commit with the village to seeing that village come out of what they say spiritual and financial poverty. Because what they say is no poverty is ever one-sided. The people in Guatemala have a poverty of finances, absolutely. They don't have resources. But they all have a poverty of relationship. relationship with others and relationship with God. And so they design their focus to cover five different areas, and we won't go into detail, that all deal with relationships and trying to restore a buildup of relationship with God their Father, with resources, with others. And so what you've seen is different villages who are going through this process. When they were showing La Pista, I noticed, and John Mark mentioned this, there was a big yellow building in the back. That wasn't there when I went to visit that village. So they have been in this relationship with Food for the Hungry, and now their village has been different resources have been available to them, just like in Han Lai. Now, how all this works is the sponsoring of the children. Other agencies, you will sponsor a child, and all the money goes to that child or that child's family. FH says, we do not do that. We pool the money for the sponsored children so that we can have people like Pedro and Jacinto and the different people that Jean-Marc talked about going into the different villages so that they can be in the villages with these people and they can be talking to the women about child care and nourishment and talking to the children about washing their hands, and they combat things on so many different levels. Agriculturally, they teach them how to not just farm beans and corn, but how to grow cabbage and how to grow vegetables that will nourish their own families. Until they come into these regions, most of these villagers, all they plant is beans and corn. And you know how much nourishment you're going to get from beans and corn if that's the only thing in your diet. Okay? So they teach them to diversify. They show them how to do it. They provide seeds. They teach them how to make where do you put the baby plants? Greenhouses, all those things. So all that you saw and all that you heard these guys talk about, I'm just very impressed because I'm so glad because we've seen it all from the outside and I've wondered, is it the real deal? And from what they have said, it really is the real deal. That these folks at FH love the Lord. They're doing this with a passion for God and a passion for the people. And for one, I'm glad that we're a part of this, truly glad we're a part of this. And I'm excited about what our village is experiencing. I think this is amazing what they're going through. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what happens over the next few years with Han Lai. So let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you've called us as a church to be on mission with you in this part of Guatemala. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can be a part of the lives of not just the villagers in Han Lai, Lord, but in so many of the different areas, so many different villages in this region by our partnership with Food for the Hungry. Lord, we pray for the workers in Food for the Hungry, like Rochelle and Pedro and Jacinto and these others. Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom and understanding. We pray that you would always give them a testimony to share with others about how, Lord Jesus, you are the great King who will bring peace and joy into a life that is devoted to you. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you died for them. And this message is one that we bring to them freely and gladly. Thank you that you've watched over these guys this summer, Lord. And I pray that they would be able to just look back on this summer for the rest of their lives as a turning point for the walk that you had for them in the future. Well, we love you and we praise you and we're just so grateful for everything that you've done and for who you are. In Christ we pray. Amen.